Okay, we're recording. Okok, so we're on Daf Tzadi Dalin tonight. I'll begin on Tzadi Gimel Amud Beis in the Mishnah. Okay, so we're on the fifth or sixth very wide line on Tzadi Gimel Amud Beis. So Manitin, everybody have the place? It says Hamotzi Ochlin. We're getting a lot about Hotzan Shabbos. If a person takes out food on Shabbos, now food, the shear for food is grogeret, a dried fig. So Hamotzi Ochlin Pachot Mikshir. He takes out less than the shear. So let's say he's taking out half a grogeret, half a dried fig, or another food that's that shear of half a dried fig. Bichli patur afa lakli. So if he brings it out with a kli, let's say it's in a glass jar or a bag. So he's carrying out the bag or the jar and the food. So the food he's not chaya for, it doesn't have the shear. But he's also patur on the kli. The kli is tafel, is an ancillary to the object that's in the kli. Sheklit felalo, that's what the Mishnah says. Then the Mishnah says, Rachai b'mita patur afalamita. If I take out a live person in a bed, so the Gemara learns, and maybe you've heard this before, there's an idea of chai no seiratzmo. So the Tana of our Mishnah holds chai no seiratzmo means a living person supports itself. So the way someone explained it to me, there was a Rabbi Yisrael Solomon, he said it means that the person moves to adjust his weight to help you. So the person who is being carried is viewed as assisting in the carrying. So he says, so at a chayv mita patur al mita. So if I take a live person out in a bed, I'm patur from carrying out the live person, and I'm also patur from carrying the bed. The bed is considered to be a tafel to the person. Shamit tfelalo. At a meit b'mita chayav. If a person takes out a dead person in a mita, in a bed, so he's chayev. Now, this is going to be the prototypical example of malacha shein etzricha legufa. So I'll come back in a moment to malacha shein etzricha legufa. But suffice to say, it's machloka tanayim, whether one is or is not chayev for malacha shein etzricha legufa. So the Tana of our Mishnah holds, in a meit b'mita chayev, the Tana Mishnah is going to be Rabbi Yehuda. So he says that you're chayiv from malacha shein etzricha legufa. So you're chayiv for carrying out the meit. And then, v'chein kizayit min ha-meit. We're four lines to the bottom on Tzadi Gimel Amud Beis, Michael. He says, v'chein kizayit min ha-meit. Similarly, if a person carries out a kizayit min ha-meit, a kizayit is, you know, the size of an olive of his flesh, u'kizayit min ha-nevela, or a kizayit of an nevela, u'chad ha-sham min ha-sheretz, the size of a lentil from a sheretz is a creeping, crawling creature, he's chayev. Those are the minimum shiurim to transmit tuma. So he's doing a significant act by taking that kizayit ha-meit, or the kizayit of the adasha, from point A to point B. Rabbi Shimon poter. Rabbi Shimon poters in all of those cases, because he holds it's a malacha shein etzricha legufa. All right, now, we had malacha shein etzricha legufa before, but now this is the main location for it. Let's discuss. So the easiest pshat on malacha shein etzricha legufa is if a person does a malacha for a purpose other than that which was in the Mishkan. So for example, let's say he extinguishes a fire. If he extinguishes a fire, so the purpose in the Mishkan was to create coals. So if I extinguish the fire because I want to prevent harm, that's a malacha shein etzricha legufa. And legufa, I'm doing the way Tosfos learns. So legufa means for its tachlit, for its set purpose, right? And then let's say it's seida. In the Mishkan, seida was capturing an animal to use the animal. I need the animal, you know, it's material, you know, for the building of the Mishkan. So if I capture an animal because I want to prevent harm from taking place, that's a malacha shein etzricha legufa, right? And then let's say with the dead body, so in the Mishkan, my purpose in transferring items, it should get to point B because I needed it at point B. That's what they would have the contributions to the Mishkan. They're bringing it to the Mishkan, so they'll use the contributions to build the Mishkan. But if I have a dead body in the house, I just want the dead body out of the house, that's not for the purpose that was in the Mishkan, right? So we're saying that this machloket tanayim, whether one is or is not chayev for malacha shein etzricha legufa. So the Tana Kama of our Mishnah holds, we said that's the Tana Rabbi Yehuda, he holds that you are chayev for malacha shein etzricha legufa. The Tana Rabbi Shimon holds that you're patur. Now, most Rishonim paskin like Rabbi Shimon, that malacha shein etzricha legufa is patur. When we say patur, what do we mean? That you're patur, right, on a deraisa level, but you're chayev on a drabanan level. You're still scrunched on a drabanan level. The Rambam, though, paskins like Rabbi Yehuda. The Rambam paskins that malacha shen is srich l'gufa, you're chayev mi deraisa. So even though we paskin that malacha shen is srich l'gufa is only prohibited on a drabanan level, we're more machmir with that application than other applications because of this machloket. Let's look a few lines in Tosfos. Now, the Tosfos for this is on Sadi Dalet Amud Aleph. Okay, let's look at the big fat Tosfos on the bottom of the Amud. Turn the page to Sadi Dalet Amud Aleph. The RSO 94A1. Okay, so everybody see the big Tosfos? It's the fourth very wide line in Tosfos. Everybody with me? So Tosfos says, Rabbi Shimon Poter, everybody see it? And there's an asterisk. It says it's also shy to the Mishnah, which we just did. We're only going to do the first few lines of the Tosfos. All right. So, okay. So Tosfos says, Nira l'ri, d'malacha shrein esrich l'gufa, karik sh'osa malacha, v'ein sarich l'oto tzorach, ein shu srich l'ab mishkan. When you do a malacha, but you're doing it for a purpose other than that which was in the Mishkan. He says, el inin acher, ki hatzorach sh'ta malacha sh'naseh b'shvil mishkan, hu gufa malacha b'shorasho. That's the gufa malacha. The Rei Tosfos understands gufa is for its tachlit. That's its stated purpose. He says, "Ulafize ati kulu shapir, hotzara maid ain't sirich lemaid." Right. In other words, I'm taking out the maid. I don't need it for the dead person. I need it because I want my house not to have the dead body there. Uva mishkan yutzrichin lechafatzim shotziu. In the mishkan, they carried because they needed the object. Here, it's not for the maid. He says, and we'll just do a few more. Tzad nachash lo yishchenu, if I capture a snake, because I don't want it to bite me. So he says, eino tzirich lenachash. So I don't need the snake per se. In other words, I don't need the snake for the snake. I just need to prevent the hamid. V'mishkan, hayutzrichin letachash v'chilazon. In the Mishkan, they need the tachash was this creature that just existed at that time with many colors. They use it for the coverings of the Mishkan and the chilazon. All right, you get the idea. That's the sheet of Tosfos. Now, Rashi, let's do the Rashi. Tosfos, I think, is easier, but let's do the Rashi. Turn back to Tzadik Yimlam Beis in the Rashi in the Mishnah. Everybody have it? Rabbi Shimon Poter? Okay. So, Rabbi Shimon Poter, afilu b'mei shalem, in other words, even if I take out the whole dead body, is it, like it mentions that Rabbi Shimon is patur, you would take a piece of the dead body, but he also is patur if you take a whole dead body out on Shabbos. The habi malacha shenet sricha legufa, the chol malacha shenet sricha ella salka me'alav. Any malacha that I don't need, I just want to get it rid. I want it out of the house. So he says, habi malacha shenet sricha legufa. The ritzono lo ba'alo. In other words, I really don't want it. Lo yas srichla hilkach lav malacha ma'shevet he l'Reb Shimon. So the way Rashi learns, it has to be for a positive purpose. And now again, Rashi will agree with the examples that I gave before. Remember I said that if you blow out the fire because you want to prevent things from burning down, and the Mishkan, so Rashi will say that's not a positive purpose. He'll agree with each one of the cases, but he'll understand the cases a little bit differently. All right, so any questions on the Mishnah so far? All right, let's go further. So we're three lines from the bottom on Sadi Gimel Beis. Everybody with me? Okay. So it's actually the sugya tonight has a lot of chashav inyanim. It has malacha shen esrich l'gufa, and also chay no seid atzmo, and we'll see whatever else we can come up with tonight. So the Gemara says Tana Rabbanan amotzi ochlin kashir. If a person takes out food the right shear, and the food just repeating is a grogeret. So if I take out food the size of a grogeret is a dried fig on Shabbat, I'm chayav for hotzah. He says, "Im bechli chayav ala ochlin upatur lakli." So if I take it out in a kli, so I'm taking out the object. It's in a paper bag, it's in a glass. Whatever I'm taking out, so I'm chayav for the food, but I'm patur for the kli. He says, "Vimayak kli tsarichlo chayav af ala kli." But if I also need the kli, and here let's look at the Rashi on this. Five lines from the bottom in Rashi. "Vimayat tsarich lakli l'shtamish bo." If I need the kli, I want the object to use the kli at the location that I'm going to arrive at, so that I'm also chayev for being motzi the kli. So I'm doing two acts of hotza. I'm doing an act of hotza for the food, an act of otzah for the kli. Now the Gemara assumes, we'll see in a minute, now the Gemara takes it that b'shogeg, I be chayav two korbanot chatat. That's what the Gemara thinks. Now b'shogeg is either, I forgot this malach is prohibited, or I forgot today was Shabbos. So the Gemara is thinking that I'll be chayav two korbanot chatat. So the Gemara says, shmamina, from here I could deduce, if my understanding is correct, shmamina, ochel shnei zeite chela behelem echad, chayav shtayim. That if a person ate two kizesim of chelev, a chelev is the forbidden fat, and it's a chiv karet b'mezid, b'shogeg korban chatat. So if I ate one kizayit chelev at 9 a.m., another kizayit chelev at 10 a.m., but it was all but one act of halama, I didn't realize in between one and the other that I'd done anything prohibited. So he says, I be chayav two korbanot chatat. Now that's not really the case, but that's what the Gemara thinks. So the Gemara says, Amar of Sheshet. So the Gemara says that's not the case. So when the Braisa says that Yerchayev off also for the clean, so Amar of Sheshet Hakabayaskinan Kigon on the top line on Sadidal and Amar Aleph, Kigon Shagagala Ochlin Behezid ala Kli. So we think that the case, and this seems like a difficult case, that he was Shogeg in terms of Hotsav Ochlin, meaning the way the Arisco said he could have thought that he had less than the shear of Ochel to be Chayev. In other words, he's carrying out food. He thought the food was less than the shear, but it was really greater than the shear. So he was a shogeg in terms of carrying out the food, but he was mazed for the kleli. So the way Rav Sheshet is understanding the Braisa, chayev af al kli, so it means he'd be chayev skila or karet for the kli, and then for the other one, you'd be chayev korban chatat. That's what we think. Now, if indeed you'd be chayev the skila, I don't think you have to worry about the korban chatat, right? It's a kimli b'drabamine, but it could be that you have, let's say you're chayev karet and shogeg. Let's see that. So the Gemara says matkiv l'Rav Ashi. So Rav Ashi, yes, and this is matkiv. It means kafta is a strong question, usually based on svar, right? Right, firm. We got it. Okay, matkiv l'Rav Ashi. For ha'afal kli katani, but the language of the Braisa is that you're chayev also for the kli. So that language, let's look at Rashi, the top wide line in Rashi. For ha'af katani, mashra shnei chiyuvin shavin. Af implies that there are two equivalent obligations. So the way that Rav Sheshet explained it, one is a chiyuv shogeg, korban chatad, and one, the chiyuv mezid, would be karet or skila. So that's what Rashi says. Ella Amar Rav Ashi, so Rav Ashi says, no, he was shogi with both. But why is he chayev twice? So he says, v'nodalo b'chazar v'nodalo, plug to the Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shimon Lakish. So we had a machloket earlier in our Masechet Gufa on this case between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. So one holds, if I ate one kizai zechelev, then ate another kizai zechelev, then I learned that I transgressed with the first kizai zechelev. Then I learned afterwards, let's say at 9 o'clock I eat kizayis A. At 10 o'clock I eat kizayis B, and I don't know anything between A and B. At 11 o'clock I learned that kizayis A was chaylev, which I didn't realize. And then at 12 o'clock I learned that kizayis B was chaylev. So in that machloket, let me see, I don't know which holds which, but one manda amar holds that you're chayev two korban chatat, and one holds that you're chayev only one korban chatat. So the way that Rav Ashi understands the braisa, chayev af al kli, in other words, he was shogeg with both, but then he learned that he did an avera with one, and then he learned that he did an avera with the other. In other words, it was staggered somehow like that. I don't know what to say. That's the way it's coming out with this. In other words, the case is b'meyak kli tsarichlo. In other words, he needs the kli in his location, and he was shogeg with both of them, and then he learns I did hotzah with the food, and then he learns I did hotzah with the kli, but he learns it different times. So according to one opinion, he's chayev twice. Let me see what he's got here.
Yochanan says you're chayev too.
Okay, so that's it. So Yosef came in for the rescue. All right, so any questions on anything we did here so far? All right, let's go on. All right, we're on the fifth line on Tzadi Dal and Amar Aleph. Et achai b'mita patur af l'mita. So he said, if you carry out a live person in a bed, So according to the Tanakam of our Mishnah, you're pater af lamita. You're not chayav for carrying out the live person. And I told you already. I didn't. If we look back at the Rashi and the Mishnah, Rashi tells us already. Look at the Rashi in the previous Amud. The chayav amita, b'chayin lo mechayav lo tzoto, to make yilatzmo but don't say yatzmo. The chay in some way assists in the carrying. And therefore, you're patur for hotza, the living person, and you're also patur for carrying the bed because the bed is tefela to the chai. Okay, that's the halacha of the Mishnah. So, at a chai b'mita, patur alef l'mita, leima manitin Rabbi Natan hivlo rabbanan. So, should we say that the tan of our Mishnah it follows the tan of Rabbi Natan that we're going to find out in a minute? So, the tan of the Mishnah says that I'm patur for both. He says the tani we learn in the brisa. If a person on Shabbat carries a behemoth as a domestic animal, or chai as a wild animal, he says, for a bird, in the Rishus HaRabim, the public domain, according to Tanakama, whether they're alive or they're dead, I'm chai for hotza'a. So he says, so the Tanakama does not hold from chai no seid atzmo. Rabbi Natan omer, al shchutin chayav. Rabbi Natan says, for the ones that are shechted, that are dead, then I'm chayav for hotzah. He says, ve'al chayin patur. But for the ones that are alive, I'm exempt, according to Rabbi Natan, shachay no seid atzmo, because the living creature assists itself. So that's a braisa. So in the braisa, Rabbi Natan holds chayin no seid atzmo, and the Tanakam and the Chachamim don't hold chayin no seid atzmo. So our Tan of our Mishnah holds chayin no seid atzmo. So we think that our Mishnah goes like Rabbi Natan. Okay, now, the Gemara says, Amar Rava, filu tamei Rabbanan. Rava says, you can even say that our Mishnah is in accord with the Chachamim who hold that you're chayav for hotzah for the live animals. Akan lo pli Rabbanan leid Rabbi Natan, elu v'hema chayva of, de misharvati nafshayhu. The Chachamim are cholek with Rabbi Natan because the Chachamim hold that an animal tries to disengage from the person's grasp, is trying to get away from the person. So that movement does not help in the hotza'a. That's the way the Chachamim hold. Rabbi Natan holds, notwithstanding that chai no seid atzmo. He says, aval adam chai deno seid atzmo filu rabbanan modu. But it could be that when it comes to a human, so perhaps even the Chachamim will agree that chai no seid atzmo. So the way we're describing the machloket is other by other creatures, by animals, is machloket with a chai no seid atzmo. But by human, everybody could agree that chai no seid atzmo, in which case our Mishnah could be a libet dekuli alma. So amalei Ravada Barava l'Rava v'haditnan. Now Ravada Barava is going to pose a question to Rava's Hesber. So again, Rava took it that by the human, everybody agrees that chai no seid atzmo. He says, now we learn this Mishnah. This Mishnah is a Masechet Psachim, and it's also a Masechet of Avodah Zarah. So Psachim is coming up relatively soon in Dafyomi terms, in about a year. So if you remember this Mishnah, so Shabbos Eruvin Psachim. So actually, for Shabbos, we have another month or so with Shabbos. And then we have Erevin, which is another 3 months, 4 months. And then we have Psachim. So this is Psachim Daf Nun Gimel, so 50. So it's around 4 months, what do we say? 3 months, and then 4 months, and then 50 days, another 50 days would be another month and a half. So maybe 6 months from now.
Six months.
Yeah, so okay, Yosef helped out again. So we have 6 months from now, Yosef says. Okay. So the Mishnah says, Bahadnan, Ben Batera Matir Basus. So the Mishnah over there is talking about that a person is not allowed to sell a draft animal, a beast of burden, like an ox or a donkey to a non Jew. You're not allowed to sell those animals to a non-Jew because you might come to lease or loan the animal to the non-Jew. And when you lease or loan the animal to the non-Jew, if the non-Jew uses the animal on Shabbat, so then that's attributable to you because you're mitzuvah on Shvitat Behemto. A person is admonished that his animal should not do malach on Shabbos. The animal shouldn't plow. The animal shouldn't do any malach on Shabbos. So if I own the animal but leasing it to the non-Jew, I own the animal, I'm lending it to the non-Jew, so then I'm committing the Aveira if the non-Jew uses it on Shabbat. So the Chachamim prohibited one to sell the animal to a non-Jew. So the Mishnah says, Ben Betera Matzir Besus. Ben Betera permits one to sell a horse because a horse is used to carry a human. And there we say, Chai no Seir Atzmo. So even if the non-Jew would ride the horse on Shabbat, the non-Jew would not be doing a Malacha Doraisa. So the Gemara says, V'tanya, we learn in the Braisa, Ben Betera Matzir Besus, Ben Yeshua Osebo Malacha, She'ein Chayavin Alav Chatat. The horse does Malacha that you're not Chayav a Chatat for. But he only says, V'am Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Yochanan said, Ben Betera Rabbi Natan Amru Dabar Echad. Then Rabbi Yochanan says that Ben Betera, who holds that the horse won't do Malacha Daraisa, he's on the same derech with Rabbi Natan, the Rabbi Natan we just did. V'yamrit lo pli Rabbanan alei Rabbi Natan, il v'heim achai v'of, mishum de b'shar v'tei nafshayhu. Now, if you assume the way that Rava assumed before, that when it comes to carrying a human, even the Chachamim agree that Chayno Seir Atzmo. So in that case, my Iria ben Betera of Rabbi Natan, why would Rabbi Yochanan say that ben Betera is lined up with Rabbi Natan? You'd say that even the Chachamim agree that when it comes to carrying a human, then there is no Malacha, right? So again, ben Betera says in the Mishnah, in Masech Pesachim, and the same Mishnah is in Masechet Avodah Zarah, then Matera says you're allowed to sell a horse to a non-Jew, or to sell a horse to a non-Jew. We're not afraid you may come to loan or lease the horse to a non-Jew. Because the horse is not going to do Malacha Doraisa, and that's only according to Rabbi Natan, is what Rabbi Yochanan said. But we just said everybody agrees that Chayno Seir Atzmo. It's not only Rabbi Natan, it should be everybody. So that's a kasha against Rava. So the Gemara says, "Ki Amar Rabbi Yochanan b'susam yuchad la'ofot." When Rabbi Yochanan said that with the horse, he's talking about a horse that's miyuchad la'ofot, a horse which is just designated to transport birds. I mean, it's like for falconry. In other words, like people they do hunting with like falcons and things like that. So the horse, the falcon is not tied up. The falcon is peaceable. He stays on the horse, and the horse just transports the falcon. So in that case, that is gufa the machloket. So when Rabbi Yochanan said, it was ben b'teira is matir b'sus, he's matir with every sus, whether the sus is used for the transport the human, or the sus is used designated to transport the bird. So the bird case, that's the machloket. So Rabbi Yochanan couldn't say, everybody agrees with that, because that's only according to Rabbi Natan, holds bird is chayno seir atzmo. Now, the Gemara says, umika susam yuchad la'ofot. Is there such a horse that's designated just to transport birds? In ika de beivaydam, there it says, but the hunters, the people with the falconry, you know, they had a segment on 60 Minutes about the Mongolia with the falcons and this American girl who went there and she learned how to, you know, handle the falcons. But there are, you know, so that's the way that works. Now, let's look at Tosfos on the 1, 2, 3, the fourth Tosfos. But Susam Yuchad Le'ofot. Now, Tosfos says, Ben Betera Matir Besus Bechol Asusim Ka'amar. So when Ben Betera is Matir Besus, he permits any horse. So whether the horse is the human carrying horse or the falcon carrying horse, Ben Matera permits you to sell that horse to a non-Jew. He says, V'rabbanan osrim b'chol asusim mishum susam yuchad la'ofo delo chilku chachamim besusim. So the chachamim, they prohibit you to sell a horse to a non-Jew because they hold, we're making one blanket rule for horses. We're not going to say this horse you can sell, this horse you can't sell. Horses you can't sell to a non-Jew because in the horses, there are some horses that we hold that the horse would end up doing the malacha on Doraisa, and you may come to lease or rent the horse to a non-Jew. And then if the non-Jew does malacha with it on Shabbat, you run into problems. Okay, well, let me just summarize again. We'll take some questions, then we'll go on, okay? So, or let me just do, I can do five, six more lines. Okay, wait, let me do five, six more lines, that'll be it. Now, the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Umoda Rabbi Natan b'kafut. Rabbi Natan agrees that if the human or the animal is tied up and totally immobilized, that you're chayav for hotzah. Then he agrees you're chayav for hotzah, because nothing can assist you at that point in time. Amar li Ravada bar matna labaye, Bahani Parsai, the commander Kviti Damu, he says these Persians, it means the humans. In other words, the Persians, the way Rashi describes it, they have like these lengthy robes and they ride their horses and they can't walk anywhere. So they're the legal equivalent of kafut, that they're like tied up. But I'm Rabbi Yochanan says, Rabbi Natan Amru Davar Echad. So we had earlier that Rabbi Yochanan said, B'Tei Rabbi Natan Davar Echad, that according to Ben B'Teira, one could sell horses to non-Jews. And he didn't say you could sell only to, Iraqis. You can't sell to Persians. He said you could sell the horses to the Persians as well. So presumably he holds that then it's not doing malacha when the horse is bearing the Persian. So the Gemara says, Hatam Ramat Rucha Hu Denakit Lahu. He says over there it's not that they can't walk or they can't go. It's just they're very haughty. He says, the Hahu Pardashcha, the Ratak Malki Lave, there was this officer in Persia, the king got angry at him. He says, Virahi Tlata Parsi Bakare, and then he ran, he went three parsa. Like, you know, you put a fire under them, they do run. So it means normally, you know, they are wrapped in a lot of clothes and they normally don't walk and that's the way they go around, but when they need to run, they run. So Mela, they're not called kafut. Okay, let's just summarize what we did and then we'll take some questions, comments, and thoughts. Okay. So we're talking about the concept of chai no seid asmo. Just get the major ideas. Like even if you just remember chai no seid asmo, and you remember there's a machlokum between humans and animals, like you're ten steps ahead of the game if you just know these yisodot. So we said the Tan of our Mishnah holds that chai no seid asmo. So if you carry out a live person in a bed, you're not chayav for otzan Shabbat. And then it came out in the Gemara that Rabbi Natan and the Chachamim both agree that chay no seid asmo by the human, but they have a machloket when it comes to animals. So Rabbi Natan holds even by animals will say chay no seid asmo because they're also assisting in the transportation. But the Chachamim hold that they're so busy trying to squirm away from the person's grasp, but not of assistance. Then we got into like this sort of issue with Ben B'Teira. So Ben B'Teira permitted you to sell a horse to a non-Jew, and he's not concerned that you may come to lease or lend the horse to a non-Jew on Shabbat, or because even if you leased or lent the horse to a non-Jew, the non-Jew would not be doing malacha with the horse on Shabbat. And then Rabbi Yochanan said that he's only going like Rabbi Natan, but we said, but everybody agrees that the horse can carry the human. So it came out within horses, some horses are designated to carry birds, and that gufa would be the machlokes. So as a result of that, so Ben B'Teira holds like Rabbi Natan up and down. So he holds that no matter whether it's animal or human, there's not going to be malacha deraisa. So Mamela, you're allowed to sell the horse to the non-Jew. And the Chachamim hold across the board, you can't sell the horse to the non-Jew. And then we mentioned that if the animal, the human, is tied up and totally immobilized, then everybody agrees you are chayav for hutzah, even though the animal is alive, according to Rabbi Natan, and the human's alive, according to everybody. Okay, who's got questions, comments, or thoughts on anything we did? What's up? Okay, go ahead.
I need you to explain again what the issur is to sell a horse to a goy, to a non-Jew.
Okay. So the Torah says on Shabbat, you're not allowed to do malacha. You're also mitzuva that your wife and your children shouldn't do malacha. You're also mitzuva that your animal shouldn't do malacha. So if I own an animal and my animal is doing malacha on Shabbos, I'm violating the Torah. Okay, do you have that?
Yeah.
So now if I loan or lease my animal to a non-Jew, and he does malacha with it on Shabbat, I, the Jew, am violating Shabbos.
Okay.
So as a result of that, the Chachamim said, we're not going to let you sell an animal to a non-Jew. Now, if I sell an animal to a non-Jew, then I don't have any problem. But we're not going to let you sell the animal, because if we let you sell the animal, you say, what's the difference if I sell, or I lease, or I loan? It's all the Zelbazach, and it's not. It's not. But that's what the Chachamim mastered, okay? That's what it's about. Okay. Any other questions, comments, or thoughts?
So isn't that a takana on top of a takana, Chachamim not allowing you to sell the
the way they would say it's like one gzeira. In other words, we can't divide up with our gzeira. You know, we're not going to make a gzeira this, you know, someplace. There's one gzeira for horses. You know, in Akinami, within the horses, some horses are problematic, some not. We're making one gzeira. you can't sell horses. That's the way the Chachamim say. All right. Yeah, what's up, Livia? What's up? What's up?
Is it still today? Is this law about the
horse? Yeah, it's still halacha today. I mean, I don't think it's so common that Jews own draft animals that they would sell to non-Jews, but it's halacha today. All right. Any other questions, comments, or thoughts? All right. Michael, you sticking around with us tonight? All right. All right, we'll see your sound soon. All right, let's go further.
Malka has a question.
All right. So I think that's your attorney, Malka. What's up?
Oh, yeah, my attorney. But
your counsel has spoken up. What's up?
First of all, now I'm confused as to why you still can't sell a horse.
All right. So let's repeat again. So do you know why the Gemara says you can't
sell? Yeah, no, you can use a horse because and a non-Jew can use your horse because it's Adam no se et atzmo.
All right, let's go back. So
that's what he said, right, attorney? Adam no se et atzmo because
let's just wait 1 second. So with the horse, the question was, if horses are only used to carry humans, so everybody should agree that I could sell a horse to a non-Jew. That's the theoretical.
Yes.
Okay, please, Malka, please just wait. Let's just listen, okay? So if horses are only carrying humans, then everyone should theoretically agree that I could sell a horse to a non-Jew. The Mishnah says, Okay. Now, so if horses only carry humans, everybody should agree I should sell the horse to the non-Jew. The Mishnah says that's not the case. The Mishnah says only Ben Batera says I can sell a horse to a non-Jew. Only Ben Batera says I can sell a horse to a non-Jew. So I'm just cutting through the chase. It comes out that horses are used not just to carry humans, but horses are, in some instances, used to transport livestock, which is the birds, the hunting birds. So as a result of that, Ben Batera holds whether the horse transports the human or the horse transports the bird, there's no malacha here on a Torah level because chayno seir atzmo, whether it's animal or human. But the chachamim hold, the human, we don't have a problem. Bird, we have a problem. So we did Tosfos. Tosfos says the chachamim make one rule. We're not going to divvy up this horse, that horse, the other horse. We have one rule. The rule is you can't sell horses to non-Jews because there are horses that the non-Jew could do malacha with on Shabbat. Okay, do you have it now? Now we'll unmute you. Unmute yourself. Yeah, what's up?
No, so you when you say sell, once you sell a horse, the horse no longer belongs to you.
Okay, we got it. Malka, let's listen again. So you're right. If you sell the horse, you don't own it. But we're concerned, the Chachamim were concerned that there are different ways of transferring. I could loan the horse or lease the horse, and I'll say, what's the difference whether I loan a horse, I lease a horse, or sell a horse? So if I could sell a horse, I could certainly loan a horse, but that's not the case. Okay, that's it. So moving on, okay? All right, let's go on. All right, now, okay, we're on the bottom of Tzadi Dalet Amud Aleph. Everybody with me? Okay, we're 2 lines from the bottom. So we said in the Mishnah that we had a machloket between the Tanakama, who we said is Rabbi Yehuda, about Malacha Shein Esrich Legufa. So the Tana Rabbi Yehuda holds that Malacha Shein Esrich Legufa is Chayav. And Rabbi Shimon holds it's Patur, Malacha Shein Esrich Legufa. And we had the machloket Rashi and Tosos. This sugya will be easier within the derech of Rashi. So Rashi learns that if it's for a positive purpose, I need to get the item to point B, then I'm chayav for hotzah. If I want the item out of my house, I'm not chayav for hotzah. So the Tana Kama holds, malacha shein esrich legufa, even if it's not for a positive purpose, I'm still chayav for it. So in all those cases that we had, when you're extinguishing the fire on Shabbat because you don't want harm to come, or you're capturing the dangerous of the snake, you're capturing the snake on Shabbat because you're afraid it's going to bite you. So the Tana Kama Rabbi Yehuda will hold that you're chayiv on a Duraisa level for Malach on Shabbat. And Rabbi Shimon will hold you're patur. All right? So see, back in the Gemara, so we're on Sadi Dalan Malach, 3 lines, Edameh Pabita Chayiv, V'ching Zayim, Edameh Pechulei. So Amar Rabbi Baruchan, Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Rabbi Yosef, Amar Rabbi Shimon Lakish, Poteraya Rabbi Shimon who paters, who exempts you from this Malach HaShein Etzrich Legufa, apamotzi the mate lekovro, even if the purpose of taking out the mate was to bury the mate. So in other words, not only where I want the mate out of the house, which I do want the mate out of the house, but even if in addition to that, I wanted the mate, I'm taking the mate not just to a different location, I'm bringing it to the funeral home because I want them to bury him, even then, I'm patur according to Reb Shimon. Let's see Rashi, the top Rashi. Apamotzi the mate lekovro, below tamin lo patar, elabamanicho lechutz, dein sorech lo legufo shalmotzi, legufo shalhotza. So here we have to focus on benefit to the actor, the one who's doing the hotza'a, the person, and benefit like with the object. Am I doing something positive with the object? So don't say that of the two, if I check off one of those boxes, I'm chayiv from Malach on Shabbos. So if I'm taking out the mate because I don't want the mate in the house, that box is not checked. That's an X in the box. That's not positive. But vis-a-vis the mate, that I want him to be buried, that's a positive vis-a-vis the object, in this case, the mate. He says, the afilu is still in Rashi, who tzorech ha-mate patur. So the way that the Gemara is saying, according to the Tana Reb Shimon, it's not a malacha shesrich legufa till I check off both boxes. It has to be something positive for the actor and something positive for the object as well. All right, let's see in the Gemara. Now, on the top line, and then I'll pause in a few lines, okay? So I'm a Rava. Umod Reb Shimon b'mar lachpurbo, Reb Shimon agrees that if I carry out a shovel or a hoe to dig with, right, he says, v'sefer Torah lekrotbo, again, the malacha here is hotza'a. So I'm carrying out the hoe because I want to dig with the hoe. And or I'm carrying out the sefer Torah because I want to read from the sefer Torah. He says, the chayav, that I'm chayav. In that case, he agrees I'm chayav. So the Gemara says, pshita, if that's that, obviously you're chayav for, because there the person is doing something positive. He's doing positive for himself. That's positive. I'm bringing it to the place that I want it to be. So if that's also malacha shin tzrich legufahi, ela malacha shin tzrich legufa, Reb Shimon hechi mashkachala. So what would be the case of malacha shin tzrich legufa? If that's not malacha shin tzrich legufa, what would be? So ma'u detema de'ika legufa u legufa, I might have thought I didn't say something right before. I might have, in other words, I'm sorry. So the key is the person. The key is the person. The key is the person. But I might have thought that I need to check off the person and the object. That's what I should have said before. Ma'u detema de'ika legufa u legufa, I might have thought gufo is the person. It's positive for the person. Gufa is the object, and it's positive for the object. Kagon, mar lasot lo tas v'lachpor. I'm carrying out the hoe or the shovel because I want to, you know, attach like a piece of metal to it to make it like in better shape, and I want to dig with it. Sefer Torah lagiyav lekropo. I'm carrying out the Sefer Torah. I want to correct it, and I reread from it. So putting it on the tas, let's say with the hoe or the shovel, so adding the tas, which is the plate of metal, that's good for the object, and I want to dig with it, that's good for me. So then I have two checks. In other words, think of the person and the object. And the Sefer Torah, if I would have thought that what's Malacha Shesrich Legufa, according to Tana Reb Shimon, that I have to check both boxes. And what would be the case with the Sefer Torah? That I'm carrying the Sefer Torah to read with it, that's good for me. And I'm going to correct the Sefer Torah, that's good for the object. So if that's the case, I might have thought he's not Chayiv in the case where he's just carrying out the hoe to dig with the Sefer Torah to read from. So Kamash Malan, so he's teaching me, he says, can you go on Marla Lakropo? Kamash Malan. So that's what he's teaching me. So it comes out that according to Reb Shimon, we're just focusing on the person. Is it something positive vis-a-vis the actor? Then it's a Malacha Shesrich Lagufa, otherwise not, according to the Tana Reb Shimon. All right, now let me just do a few lines and we'll pause. Now, Ahu Shachva, the Hava Bedrukra, there was a corpse, a dead body in this place, Drukra. Shar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak La Puki La Karmli. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak permitted the body to be carried from a Rishus Yachid to a Carmelite on Shabbat. So a Carmelite, as you recall from the first parak, is a Rishus Rabbanan, and you're chayiv on a Drabanan level if you take from the Rishus Yachid to the Carmelite. So Amalei Rav Yochanan, Ahu Adamar Barei Deravnal Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. So this is not, I don't think this is the famous Rabbi Yochanan. He says, Amalei Rabbi Yochanan to Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Kaman, according to whom were you paskening that you permitted the body to be moved from one Rishus to another Rishus on Shabbat? Mistama Kirib Shimon. Mistama you like Rab Shimon. Shimon holds Malacha Shin Sricha Legufa is Patur. So I assume that's what you were going like that, and you were making like leniencies because it's a dead body. Now, Rashi adds on, one second. Yeah, if you look at Rashi, the first narrow line in Rashi, Lapuki Lekarmelit Shem Utabibi Zion. The body was, it wasn't tenable leaving the body where it was. It was in a state of disgrace. Obit Leika Obachama. Either there's a fire, the house is burning down, you got to get the body out of the house, or the body's lying in the sun. It's just the Rishus Yachid with fences, but the body is putrefying in the sun. He says, V'imisham tiltul, and if, what about tiltul? This is like your type of question, Fern. What about carrying muksa on Shabbat? Every dead body is muksa. So he says, maniach alav kikor otinok. So you put a loaf of bread or a child. Remember, you had this earlier in the Masechta, right? I think it was Daf Lamed Gimel, right? The sugi of Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, or near there, with David HaMelech and Shlomo. So I think they wanted to remove the body of David HaMelech, right? And they put a kikor, the tinok, on it. So back in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, come on, Kirib Shimon. So Mastama, you were going like the Tana Rib Shimon, who holds that you're Patur. So, but Amar, the Patur Rib Shimon, Mechi of Chatat, Rib Shimon only gives you a Patur from Mechi of Chatat, you know, Chaim on a Deraisa level, Yisur de Rabbanon Mi'aika. But you're licensing, violating Shabbos on a De Rabbanon level. How can you give a green light for that? So Amar Lang, so Nachman Yiska said, Hello Kim to Eilat Bayad. He says, you know, like Elohim is like Lashon Shavua. He says, even you know, you would be willing to carry. It's so clear to me that you had a green light to carry this body on Shabbos. Vafilu Rabbi Yehuda, Shari. Even according to the Tana Rabbi Yehuda, it's Malacha Shin Sri Lekufa is Chayev. And here you see the Gemara ascribes it to Rabbi Yehuda. Even he would permit moving the body on Shabbos. Why? Vafilu Rabbi Yehuda, Shari. To me, Kamila Rishus Rabim. I didn't say move it to Rishus Rabim, which would be a Malacha Doraisa, the Carmelite Kamina. I said just move it to a Carmelite. We could Gadol Kvod Abriyo Chedoka Lo Taaseh Shabbatorah. So when it's a Din de Rabbanan, he wants to say we can apply the Klal Gadol Kvod Abriyo. Like Kvod Abriyo means like Kavod for the deceased, even though he's not alive anymore, it's still Kvod Abriyo because it's Doka Lo Taaseh Shabbatorah. So lo tasa he's talking about is lo tasur. In other words, lo tasa in the Torah is that you're not supposed to deviate from what the Chachamim tell you. But for quote briot, so he wants to say in this case with the mate, you could. Now, it's not an open license to do that in all situations, but here by the mate, the Gemara gave the heter for it. All right, let me pause for a moment. Who's got any questions on anything we did so far? Everybody good? All right. Yeah, what's
I would like to know, where do we learn that a met is mukse on Shabbat?
Yeah, so met is mukse because it's not, in other words, it has to fall into one of the things that are het. In other words, if it's not, you can't eat it, it serves no purpose for you on Shabbat, so then it's mukse, right? In other words, that's the way it works. So if it's not something you eat, not something you would use on Shabbos, so then it becomes ipso facto mukse. All right.
Why we cannot close the eyes of a met on Shabbat?
So that's the whole question. That's the whole question. Did you hear about this somewhere or what?
You taught us that.
Yeah, right. So there is a heter, I think, for the Chevra Kadisha just to close the eyes of the mace on Shabbos. That's it. But otherwise, you should all know that you can't move the mace on Shabbos, and the Chevra Kadisha won't move the mace on Shabbos either, unless it's going to be an issue like this, of quote briot or something like that. All right, let's take a look now. All right. So, okay, Olivia, you gotta mute yourself, Olivia.
Sorry.
Well, we only care if you benefit from it. If the guy, if the item's benefiting, we don't care.
If the person, positive vis-a-vis the person, that's person. The key. But the object isn't dispositive. All right, let me mute everybody. All right, let's go further. All right, now, all right, so Tanana Tam, we learn in the Mishnah, this is Mishnah is a Masechet Negayim, right? Yeah, so Negayim isn't something that we do in Daf Yomi, but you'll get a little taste of everything here. So Tanana Tam, Hatolesh Simanei Tuma, so we're talking about, let's say you have Simanei Tuma, if a person has Saras, so if there's Baheret, there's different types of Saras. So for Baheret, in order to be beheret, it has to have white hairs going out of it. So it has to have at least two white hairs going out of this of the nega. So he doesn't like having sarah. So he decides he's going to. This has nothing to do with Shabbos, all right? So get Shabbos off the table. It's during the week. So he's tolesh, he's pulling out the hairs with the white hairs. Tolesh simanei tuma, v'chva ha-michya. Or, let's say, there's different types of sarah, it's known as se'et. So se'et, there's like an area of the skin that looks discolored, but then in that area, there's an area of the flesh that looks normal. That's the healthy flesh. So then it's tame. In other words, if it has the area of tuma and the healthy flesh. So the hichva hamichya, he burned off the healthy flesh over below tase. So he transgresses the lo tase by doing that. It says he shamir benegat sarad. You're admonished to be careful with the negat sarad and not to remove the negat sarad, like surgically or otherwise. So the Gemara says itmar. Achat mishtayim chayav. So it was stated in Machlok and Rayim. If he has two hairs and he pulled one hair out of the two, now two hairs is what need to be tamei, then he's chayav. Achat mishalosh, if he had three white hairs and he pulled out one white hair, so Rav Nachman mar chayav, Rav Shish mar patur. Nachman says you're chayav for pulling one hair out of the three, and Rav Shish says that you're patur. Rav Nachman mar chayav, ahanimasav. Nachman says he's chayiv, even though he's got three white hairs, and once he pulls out the one white hair, he's still got two white hairs, he's still tamei. Nevertheless, Rav Nachman holds he did something significant. He says, de'imish takla chadachriti azla tuma, because now, if another one of the hairs falls out, then he's not tamei anymore. So he did something very significant by pulling out the one hair, even though at the time he pulled out the one hair, he had three white hairs. Rav Sheshet Amar Patur, Shesha says, no, he's patur if he pulls out one white hair from three. Hashtamiyet ha'it l'tum, because at the time that he does the act, so at the end of the day, he's still tame. Tame before, tame afterwards. So he did not transgress the law of Yishamer b'negat sarad. Amar Rav Sheshet menah minala. Now, Rav Sheshet said, is the one who said that you're patur. I'm just looking at the here and the now. How do I know that I'm right? Is what I'm saying is correct? Ditnan, because we learned in our Mishnah, this is the connection with our Mishnah, Ditnan, v'chein kizayit min amet, u'kizayit min anavela, chayav. The Mishnah says, if on Shabbat, a person would carry out of his house a kizayit min amet, a kizayit of the cadaver, a kizayit from the nevela, from the dead animal, he's chayav. So from here I could extrapolate, ha'chatzi zayit patur, that if he only carries half a zayit, he's patur. In another brayse, we learn that chatzi zayit be chayiv. So again, so it's a diuk from the Mishnah and an explicit brayse. So one statement is saying chatzi zayit you're chayiv. One statement is chatzi zayit you're patur. So my lav is it not? Rav Sheshet wants to say hatani chayiv the apik chatzi zayit mikazayit. When is he chayiv? If he starts off in the house. He's got kizayit min amet. Kizayit min amet is enough to transmit tuma. Now he has tumas ol in the house. Now he takes a chatzi zayit from that. Now he's reduced the shear, and now there's no more tuma in the house. Then he'd be chayiv with the hotzah, because now he's taking off a significant amount that's impacting the halacha. B'hadatnan patur, the case that we said would be patur when I carry a chatzi zayit, the api chatzi zayit mi kizayit u'mechza. If he starts off with a kezayit u'mechza, one and a half kezayim, and he takes half a kezayis, so he's patur because he still left a kezayis in the house, and the chatzi zayit by itself is not a significant amount, so he's patur. So that, Rav Sheshet said, is a proof that if you have three hairs and you take one hair out, that you're not chayiv because you still left the two hairs. Rav Nachman would respond, idi v'idi chayiv. Rav Nachman says, in both instances, you're chayiv for the chatzi zayit. V'hadatnan patur, the case that the Mishnah says that you're patur, the api chatzi zayit we make gadol. In other words, one second. Yeah. Right. One second. Right. So again, Rav Nachman says in each case, if I take the Chatzi Zayed, I'll be chayav for Hotzah, according to Rav Nachman. The case that I'm going to be patur is if I have a big maid in the house and I take a Chatzi Zayed from the big maid. So we want to say like this, that, 1 second. In other words, in that case, he says in footnote 18, more than the minimum measure of course would be left. Example, the quartz fragment was 2 or 3 times the size of an olive. He says, so then his act is inconsequential. And that's the reason that he rules that he's exempt. His act is totally inconsequential. But if it has a potential to be consequential, so in other words, if he takes the Chatzi Zayed and he leaves exactly a kezias left behind, so any little amount that now disappears from that kezias, now we have a big impact. So Rav Nachman says, so that then you be chayiv. That's the way Rav Nachman says. So that's why Rav Nachman says you have 3 hairs. You take 1 hair out, you're still chayiv for transgressing in Shamar B'negat Sarat because you don't know what's going to happen with that hair. So here, in other words, here the case is if you had a kezias and a 1.5 kezaisim of a mace, you took out a half kezias. So you still left a kezias. But it could be you did something very significant and consequential because that kezias, you just did the dotted line that could drop below the dotted line any moment. So you're still chayav for that hotzah. That's the way Rav Nachman learns. Okay, any questions, comments, or thoughts on anything we did so far?
So it still goes back to the chashivas of what you're doing.
Yeah, 100%. All right. All right, let's go on. Okay. All right, now we're in the next Mishnah. And after the daf, I have a question to ask people. Don't disappear after I'm done with the daf. Okay. Manitin, Hanotil Tsipornav Zubazu, Obashinav, Lachain Saro, Lachain Sfamo, Lachain Skano. So this is totally not related to Hotza'a. And there's a question among the Mefarshim what it's doing here. In other words, we've been doing a lot with Hotza'a since the end of Klal Gadol, which was the 7th parak, and now we're in the 10th parak. And the next parak is Azorek, which also deals with Hotza'ah. We had a lot about Hotza'ah in the Mishnechet Shabbat. We had the first 9 dapim were about Hotza'ah, and we've had a lot of dapim here about Hotza'ah. It's interesting how much of the Masechta is devoted to the Malach of Hotza'ah. It's interesting, especially since a lot of people are not Machshiv, the importance of Hotza'ah and Shabbat. You know, like it's like sometimes people, you know, it's not so significant, but it really comes out as here in the Gemara. It's quite a lot. So now the Gemara is talking about, now, Hanotil Tziparnav, a person is removing his nail on Shabbos, Zubazu. In other words, I take my nails of one hand and then I pull the nail or bite, you know, cut down on the other nail and I take off a piece of the nail. Instead of using a nail clipper, I'm using my nails to cut the nail. Obashinav, or I bite it off with my teeth. He says, v'chein sa'aro, where I pull hairs out of my head. V'chein sfamo, I pull hairs out of my mustache. V'chein skano, or out of my beard. V'chein ha'godelet, and similarly of a woman who braids her hair. V'chein ha'kochelet, kochelet, she applies mascara to her eyes. V'chein ha'pokeset, and pokeset is either splitting the hair with a comb or applying like some dough on the face to cause the face to redden up. And I have to mention to you, you know, like there's a lot of dinim about cosmetics on Shabbos. And, you know, sometimes I get the sense that women either don't know or don't care about it. There's a lot of dinim about what cosmetics, if any, a woman could put on Shabbat. So he says here, Reb Lezer Mechayev. So Tan Reb Lezer is Mechayev in all these cases. V'chachamim Osrim Yishum Shvut. So the Tan Reb Lezer will hold that each one of these items are a tolda. In other words, the first ones, we'll see in the Gemara what the totals will be, but he'll learn there's a malach of gozes we had already, shearing the sheep. So he'll learn that with the nail and with the hair, that's all a total of gozes. Whereas the second tana will learn it's kla'achar yad. You do it in an irregular fashion, so it's not a malach of deraisa, it's just a prohibition on a drabbanan level. All right, so let's see the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Amar Blazar Machloket Biyad. So Blazar says, so again, we had a machloket between Reblazar and the Chachamim. Reblazar says, you're Chayev Doraisa. Chachamim say, you're Patur. It means Patur of Alasur. So Amar Blazar Machloket Biyad. This machloket is when I use my hand. About the Kli, the Bacha is Dibre Kol Chayev. If I use a Kli, like a nail clipper, so everybody holds, I'm Chayev. Everybody, if I cut my hair with the scissors, every hole is holds a mechayev. So the Gemara says, Pshita, Zubazutan, isn't that obvious? Mishnah said, I take the nail with the other nails, so that's the case of machloket. So the Gemara says, Ma'u detema rabbanan b'kli nami patri. I would have thought, which is not the case, I would have thought that the Chachamim say you're patur even with a kli. And Rashi says, why would I think that? Look in the Rashi. Ma'u detema b'kli nami patri rabbanan. De'ein kamishim gozeis lo shayach ela b'tzem rebeima. We would have thought the Chachamim say gozeis is only when I'm shearing wool from a sheep. I'm not a sheep and I don't have wool. So let's see back in the Gemara. He said, I would have thought that. Bahadik Tani Zubazu, and the reason the Tana says Zubazu, I take one nail with other nails, Lodiacha Koko de Reb Lezer, to teach me the stringency of Reb Lezer. Reb Lezer holds I'm chayev not just when I take it with a kli, but even with nails. But really, the Chachamim hold on Pater across the board. So Reb Lezer would have held chayev across the board, Chachamim would hold Pater across the board. Kamashmalan. So Kamashmalan, so Reb Lezer the Amora comes to teach me. That, and I think that's Reb Lazar ben Padat, so he comes to teach me that everybody agrees with the Kliyam Chayev. Okay, now, Ba'am Reb Lazar, Reb Lazar also said, Machloket La'atzmo, the whole Machloket is when he does it on his own nail. In other words, he's taking the nails and cutting the nails to him on his own. One second. Yeah. When I talk about the kli before, we're just talking about the nails. So I said about right and the hair also and the hair also. Right. Okay. So now let's take a look. Va'amar blaza machloket la'atzmo. It's machloket if he does himself. Aval l'chaveiro divrei akol patur. If I take my fingers and I go to my friend's nail and cut off the nail, everybody goes on patur in that case. I don't have the dexterity, the same dexterity to snip off my friend's nail as my own finger. My own finger, I can adjust my fingers to pull a nail off. My friend's hand, it's more of a mess when I take my nails to try to cut it off. So everybody is in patur. So the Gemara says, Pshita, that's obvious. Tzipor nav tanan. We learn the Mishnah, his own nails. Says, Ma'u detema, Reb Lezer l'chaveiro nami mechayv. I would have thought that Tan Reb Lezer says, no, you're chayv even with your friend's nail. Bahadik tani tzipor nav. And the fact that he teaches me the case of his nails, lodiyecha kochod rabbanan, kochan rabbanan. Tell me, like how far the chachamim go? That the chachamim say that it's only drabbanan. Kamashmalan. In other words, In other words, it's teach me in Siparnav, just to teach me how lenient the Chachamim are, they hold your patur, even with the other person's nail. That's what I want to say. All right. Any questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did so far?
Yeah. What if you use a scissor to cut your friend's nail?
So it's going to be talui with this. You may, since you're using a kli, I mean, the issue is going to be, is that the normal way to do the malacha with the scissors? So I don't know, frankly, if that would quite be the normal way to do it, but it's cutting on the edge. I need to look up the halakha with that. I mean, when the Gemara talks about a kli, it's the kli that's usually used to cut nails. So maybe Bizman Chazal, they did use scissors. I don't know. But I think today I have to look into it, whether you'd be chayiv on a derisa level using a scissors. I have to look into that.
Okay, nail clipper. What if you use a nail clipper?
Then you'd be chayiv. Then you're chayiv. Yeah.
Even for your friend?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
What about a nail file, Eric?
Yeah. It's bad news. Anything that's taken off the nail is bad news. So the only question is it a derisa or a drabanan? Okay. So with the nail file, so what's coming to my mind, I don't think it would be tochein, because tochein is only like gidule karka, and you're not gidule karka, but it is removing part of the nail. So, and I think that's the way people would normally take the nail off. So I think that might be deraisa. Now,
Rabbi?
Yeah, what's up?
When we read Leodircha Kohan de Rabbanan, it's always to show the strength, the extent of the strength of the rabbi.
Leodircha Kohan is tell you the extreme position, either for stringency or leniency.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so here's leniency. All right. All right.
Can't now, you take off a hangnail on Shabbos?
We're going to come to it. Let's just see. Now, all right. Now, the only thing I must say that I need to look up a little bit about this is when you're cutting nails on Shabbos, lechora, you don't need the nail. You just don't want the nail on the finger. So that's a different type of malacha than was in the Mishkan. So this could be malacha shenis tzricha legufa. So it might turn on that. So if it's a malacha shenis tzricha legufa, so then we hold that it's really only a drabanan. So I need to look up the issue with the nails again. Okay, so it might be
that's,
the
on, that's only according to Tosfos. According to Rashi, it'll be a problem because you're benefiting.
Yeah, no, but Rashi learns if it's something positive, but it means right.
It is
so,
a positive.
So the positive for the person. So the positive for the person. All right, I need to look into it. Okay, let's see Berner and the Gemara. Now, all right, now we're the second wide line on Tzadi Dalin Beis. All right, V'chein Sa'aro V'chulei. We said similarly, according to the Reb Lezer, if a person pulls out some hairs on Shabbos, he's chayiv, and the Chachamim say that it's doling to Rabbanan. So Tana taught in a Braisa, Hanotel Melopia Zug Chayev. The Braisa says if a person takes out like a tip full of a scissors amount of hair on Shabbat, he'll be Chayev. So according to the Tana Reb Lezer, it means whether you pull the hair out or you snip the hair out, you'll be Chayev. And we have to define what a tip full is. And according to the Chachamim, you're only Chayev if you would cut the hair. So the kama malo piyazug, how much is like the tip full of the scissors? Amar Rabbi Yehuda Shtayim. So Rabbi Yehuda says two hairs. So in order to be chayiv the malacha with the hairs, you need to remove two hairs on Shabbat. Bahatanya ulakorcha shtayim. But the brisa also continues on and says, so the brisa says hanotel malo piyazug is chayiv. If you take a tip full of the scissors hair on Shabbat your chayav, and then the Braisa says ulu korcha shtayim. Korcha is lo tasim korcha bein nichim lameit. Don't put a korcha. And the korcha is they would like remove their hair, pull out their hair when dead people would die, the non-Jews. So the Torah says you shouldn't do that. If don't pull out your hair. So the Tana Braisa says ulu korcha shtayim. For korcha is two hairs. So the implication is that that's different than the first shita. So ema v'chein l'korcha shtayim. So the way you should understand the braisa means, and also to be over on the din of korcha is also two hairs. All right. Now tani nami hachi, we learn a braisa that supports what Rabbi Yehuda said. So Rabbi Yehuda's an amara. He said what the braisa meant was two hairs for melo pi azug. Tani nami hachi, no tel melo pi azug b'shabbat chayav, v'kama melo pi azug shtayim. So the braisa says mefurish, it's two hairs. Reb Lezer omer achat. The Tana Reb Lezer says one hair is the shear. Umodim chachamim Reb Lezer, but the chachamim agree with Reb Lezer that you will transgress with one hair. He says b'malakeit labanot mitoch shechorot. Let's say you have you have one gray hair, and you have a lot of black hair. And it's going to come out more with women. Let's say the woman has got black hair all over, and she's got one gray hair. She pulls out the gray hair. So he says shafilu achat chayav, that even for one hair, then she's chayav. In other words, again, like Fern said, right? It's, you're doing a davar chashuv. So normally two hairs are a davar chashuv. Here he's saying one gray hair is a davar chashuv. But davar is af bechol asur. And even during the week, probably we're doing this. Mishum shenamar lo yibash gever sim ladi sha. Oh, so it means like this. we're talking about a man here, a woman also, but like a man, if he would do this even during the week, the man would also be over another lav. Lo yibash gever sim ladi sha. Man shouldn't wear a woman's clothing. So it means not just the woman's clothing, But a man should not adorn himself the way the woman does. He shouldn't comport himself the way a woman does. So just 1 minute and chill out. So we're saying, that, like, for a man, like women, the Gemara takes it, they're the ones who are concerned with gray hair, and men are not so concerned with gray hair. So if a man is pulling out the gray hair, so he's chayav on Shabbos for gozes, according to the Tana Reb Lezer. But he's also, even if you do that, he's also over on a lav of lo yubash gever simlat isha. Okay, now, all right, let's look at Rashi on this. Just 1 minute. Okay. 1 second. Okay, you look in Rashi. He says, achar chayav. We have it? He says, in Rashi, 10 lines from the bottom, achar chayav, sheba achar hu makpid, shlo yinire kisakein. He's makpid even with one gray hair. He doesn't want to look old. I guess it's similar to what was going on today. He says, that's the way women do. So I mentioned this in the past, like the post can bring down that, like, a man is not allowed to dye his hair because that's considered to be the way a woman conducts. You know, women dye their hairs, men don't dye their hair. Now, there's a lot of tshuvas about this. I think Ramosha had a tshuva about a man. He wanted to dye his hair because he wanted to get a job, and he felt like people wouldn't, that he was capable of doing the job, but without the hair being dyed, he didn't think they would hire him. So Moshe has an answer about that. And then there was another tshuva, I think, from the Sri Aish, I think, about a person who wanted to get a shidduch and he was dyeing his hair. So it's a very complicated Indian. I was thinking of speaking about this once in a shir, but it turns on the issue about, you know, whether social mores can change. In other words, like now, a lot of men, I think, do dye their hair. I think even now more women dye their hair than men, but there are, I think, more men that do dye their hair. So, but whether halakha, you know, is changing in response to that or not, I can't say. But like, you could, like the, I think Rabbi Ezra Schwartz was saying this to me, like, you know, it seems like it's getting to a point where it would be that way. You know, like, how many men have to, like in Shulchan Aruch, it says that a man should not look in a mirror, because that's something that women look in mirrors and men don't look in mirrors. But today, I think, you know, men, I would think, do look in mirrors. So it's a tricky issue, but you see what the issue is. Okay. All right. Let me go on and then we'll get some questions. All right. And all right. So we're 10 lines from the bottom on Sadi Dalet Amud Beis. So Tanya, Reb Shimon Elazar Omer. Now, who asked me about the hangnail? Fern, you asked me about that? Who is hangnail? Okay, so Tani Rav Shimon Elazar Omer, Siporin Shapirish Ruba, if a nail is mostly detached on Shabbat, he's walking around with a mostly detached nail, he says, Vitzitzin Shapir Shu Ruban, or Tzitzin Shapir Shu, here the article translates cuticles, but I think it's like a little, like everybody gets this, like little skin that begins to, like, peel away near the tip of the finger. He says, Vitzitzin Shapir Shu Ruban, Biyad Mutar, so the Braisa says that if you take it off with your fingers, it's permissible. Bikli Chayav Chatat. But if you take it off with a Kli, you'd be Chayav Chatat. So the Gemara says, Mi Kamidi the Bikli Chayav Chatat, Biyad Mutar Lechachila. Do we have anything like this? Kli is Chayav Min HaTorah, Yad is totally Mutar, green light. So the Gemara says, Hachi Kamor. This is what the Braisa means. Pirshu Ruban, if most of it is detached, Biyad mutar, b'kli patur. So biyad, you have a green light to remove it, but with a kli, you're patur al-balasur. You're prohibited at the rubanan level. Lo pirshu ruban, if most of it has not detached, biyad patur al-balasur. So biyad, it's prohibited on the rubanan level, b'kli chayav chatat. Amar Rav Yehuda, halacha k'Rav Shimon Elazar. So Rav Yehuda says halacha follows Rav Shimon Elazar. So it's coming out that according to Rav Shimon Elazar, if most of it is detached, he said that biyad, you're allowed to remove it. He says, "Ama Rabba Barbar Chan Yochanan, Vush Pirshu Klape Mala Umitzarodoto," provided that there it's like ripping towards the nail, right? In other words, it's detaching. In other words, like, you know, if you have like the skin and it's like peeling towards the nail. In other words, so in other words, the rip begins like near the tip and is going like towards the nail. So, and it's giving him a lot of distress or her a lot of distress. So then under those circumstances, if it's mostly detached and it's giving the person pain, then you're allowed to remove it with the hand. That's what we're saying. Hey, what's up? What's up, Fern?
Couple of things. On this, though, I thought you're not supposed to do refuah on Shabbos.
Yeah, so this is not viewed as refuah. In other words, the nail is not viewed as refuah. I don't know. Maybe our
we're talking about comfort and discomfort. So I would think on some level it is.
Yeah, I don't know what to say. They don't categorize this as refuah. In addition to which, I don't think they think of it as refuah, but
the discomfort is not refuah.
To cause you comfort once you're discomfort.
I don't know.
My other question.
Yeah, what's up?
On the sa'arot.
Right.
Didn't we learn with Parah Adumah that you're not allowed to take out two Shein Bamul if it has two black hairs, right? Is that what Rashi says in Chupat?
If the Parah Adumah has got two black hairs, so it's not, it's not a Parah Adumah anymore.
Isn't that supposed to be the source for pulling out the hairs on Shabbos?
I'm not aware of that.
I got to find it.
All right. Okay, let me move on. It's getting very late. These dafyomis are getting even longer than they used to be. Okay, let's take a look. All right, now let's take a look. Let's wrap it up. All right, now we're four lines from the bottom. Everybody with me? Okay, so the Gemara says, V'chena godelet. We said that if the woman has all these things that the woman shouldn't do on Shabbos, like braiding the hair, and then we said applying mascara, kohelet, you know, like the eyeliner or whatever, and then pokeset is either splitting the hair with a comb or else like applying some sort of application to the face to cause the face to become redder. All right, let's take a look. So godelet, kohelet, pokeset, mishumai, mechaiva. So the Tana Reb Lezer says if you do those things, you're chayiv on a derice level. So what malach are you doing if you do those items? So Amar Reb Avin, Amar Reb Yossi, Reb Chanina, Godelet Bishum Oreget. Is Godelet, which is, braiding the hair, that's because of Oreg. Oreg is weaving. He says Kohelet Bishum Kotevet, like applying the mascara, we think is like writing, like you have this liner and you're writing along. Pokeset Bishum Tova. Pokeset is like spinning the thread. In other words, either like splitting the hair and disentangling the hair with the comb, or if it's the application of this dough to the face, it means like you're forming like little strings with the dough apparently to do that. The Gemara's not going to stay with this anyway. So the Gemara says, "I'm Rabbanan Kamez Rabbi Abahu." So the Kamez said before Rabbi Abahu, "V'chiderach Ariyuga B'kach." Is that the way people weave? He says, "V'chiderach Tiva." Is that the way people write? "V'chiderach Tiva B'kach." Is that the way people spin? Meaning that they don't feel that it's the usual way to perform malachos in that manner. So Ela Arivau Ladidi Mafarsh Liminei Rabbi Yossi Ruchanina, Rabbi says it was personally explained to me by Rabbi Yossi Ruchanina. So Rabbi Avin quoted Rabbi Ruchanina before, but he had this one hesber. So Rabbi Bawa says it was personally explained to me by Rabbi Yossi Ruchanina. Top line Sadi Hey Amid Aleph. He says Kohelet Mishum Sovad, that Kohelet, which is applying the mascara, is because of Soveya is dying. He says, Godelet u pokeset is braiding the hairs, and pokeset is either splitting the hairs or else with that pack on the skin, mishum bona. So bona you have to, you know, interpret in a very generic and, you know, a sort of like a loose fashion that like the woman is being built up, you know, to look in a certain fashion. If you say it's braiding the hair or doing things with the hair, then bona will work out better. But if it's in the other pshat that Rashi brings down, like applying the dough to the face, so it's going to have to say bona in a very, you know, general fashion, like you're building the woman up. He says, so the Gemara says, v'chiderach binyan b'kach, is that the derach of binyan, building, like with the hair? So it's in, the Gemara says it is. Kedadarish Rish Menasya, and this we had already before in Dafyomi and Barakot, you see it, and it's coming up in Erevin. So this is the second time. So we get to Erevin Yudchet, and Yosef had the calculation. This is less than 5 months or 6 months. So it's probably about 5 months from now. So he says, Vayiban Hashem Elokim et Tzela, that God built up the Tzela. Here they're translating it that he built up the the part that he took from the woman, that God braided Chava's hair, brought him to her, to Adam. Because in the Kracha Ayam means like the literal cities, L-I-T-T-O-R-A-L, the cities by the sea, literal cities. So in literal cities, it's they call a Kalita Banita. They call the braiding the hair Banita. So Vayiven. Vayiven means he braided her hair. So I see that the Torah refers to braiding the hair as binyan. So if the Torah refers to braiding the hair as binyan, so then we can refer to it as binyan. So Tanya, Rav Shimon Elazar Omer, Godelet Kochel Pokeset La'atzma Petura. According to Rav Shimon Elazar, if she does any of those things on herself, she's Petura, because that's not the derech. You can't do it. If I'm like braiding my own hair, I can't. It's like giving yourself a haircut. You do the best you can, which is what I've been doing. It's not quite the same. So like you're braiding your own hair and you're applying your own mascara. So the Gemara takes it, you don't do it so great. He says, so Godela Kochela Pokes As Matur, Lechaverta Chayevet. And if you do it to your friend, then you are Chayev. Bechene Rav Shimon Elazar Omer, Yishum Reb Lezer, Isha Lo Tavir Srak Al Paneha, Neshit Sovat. That a woman shouldn't put Srak on Paneha. Srak is like this pigmentation on her face, because she's Soveya on Shabbos. She's that's dying the skin. All right, I think that's going to be it for today. Any questions? Anything we did?
Yes, all right. I got a question.
Yeah, what's up? What's up?
Cutting the hair. We said you need two at one time, or it could be one and then one. To be a chayiv, you need to cut two hairs in one shot.
I think if you do one and then another, I think that would also work. But I need to look into it. That's what I would think. Okay. Any other questions, comments, thoughts? Okay, let me stop the recording. Okay.